The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We begin today in verse 7 of chapter 4, and we will go through the end of this chapter. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's actually go back to verse 4 of Ephesians, chapter 4, and begin reading there. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Every Christian is unique. That is the way Jesus wants it to be. There is no such thing as a typical Christian. You may have the same gift as some other Christian, as a million other Christians, but it is a different strain of that gift to be used in your own unique way. We all have our role to fill, and that's why whenever even one Christian does not walk in the Spirit, the entire work of Christ will suffer in some way. Verse 8. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train. Jesus did a couple of things during and right after his ascension. Did you know that no one went to heaven until after Christ died on the cross? When Jesus died, he opened the gates of heaven. But from Adam to Jesus, godly people went to a place called paradise after they died. Oh, it was nice, but it wasn't heaven as we think of it. After Jesus died, he went to paradise, and then when he ascended into heaven, he took all the righteous souls from Adam to Christ, took them to heaven with him. And he did something else when he got to heaven. Notice verse 8. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. After Jesus arrived in heaven, actually 10 days, earth time, after he arrived, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to earth. And Jesus instructed the Holy Spirit to take with him all sorts of spiritual gifts. And he told the Holy Spirit to indwell every single Christian and to give each Christian at least one spiritual gift that they could use to serve him. Verse 9. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Jesus fills the whole universe. He fills all things. In other words, he is sovereign both in heaven and on earth. Jesus rules heaven and earth, and things seen and things unseen, and angels and people and demons. Jesus is Lord of all. 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The body of Christ and each and every Christian, we need to be built up. Christianity is a continual growing experience with Christ. Christianity is not just 1 hour in church on Sunday morning. It is supposed to be a way of life. It is a way of life. It is a continual growing process. And as we are taught the Word of God, that is how we grow up spiritually. And the fact is, no Christian stays where they are. We are either growing spiritually, or by default, we are shrinking spiritually. And God gave the gifts mentioned in verse 11 so that we could continue to grow and become more like Jesus. Because that is the goal, according to verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that is the goal. And that's just a long way of saying, be like Jesus. The goal is to think, act, talk like Jesus Christ. And the only way we can be like Christ is to know Him. That's how we grow. 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Because they are so young, children do not have a foundation of knowledge and wisdom to draw from. That's why they often grab anything that looks appealing. That's also why they are easily taken in by strangers. And there is a period of time when a new Christian is just as vulnerable to false teaching as a little child is to strangers who offer them candy. And there's only one way to grow out of that vulnerable stage, and that's to learn the Word of God. 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. When we speak the truth in love, we are like Christ, because that's what He did. When we speak the truth without love, or love but withhold the truth, we misrepresent the Christ that we are supposed to be like. Now, there will be times when we will speak the truth in love, in a very loving way, and some will still call it unloving because they don't want to hear the truth. Their problem is they equate being made uncomfortable with being unloving. And the truth often makes us feel uncomfortable, but that's not unloving. The truth at times may seem like bad tasting medicine, but it's still good for us, and it's not unloving to hear it. 16. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each Christian has a role to play in God's plan for today. And that plan unfolds successfully to the degree that each Christian walks with the Lord individually. If we take care of our own spiritual business, then we will be successful in the eyes of Christ individually, and the entire purpose of Christ goes forward successfully as we do that too. As everybody does that. 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Gentiles simply mean people who do not know God. So he is saying, do not live like the people who do not know God. Don't live like them. Their thinking is futile. Their thinking is foolish. Their thinking is all confused. Don't be like them. No Christian should live like they are confused or think like they are confused, but often they do. They often do so that they do not appear to be strange to the world that they are around. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's like a sane person acting insane so that all the people in the asylum won't think they're weird. We have a better way than the world, we who know Christ, and no Christian should be ashamed of it. 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. See, those who lock God out of their life will eventually lose touch with reality. People like that, they do foolish things that only a twisted mind would call normal. A dead spirit that does not connect with God will produce a mind that cannot think straight. At least when it comes to moral and many common sense issues, it will not be able to think straight. It might still be able to do math, but it won't think straight when it comes to moral and common sense things, because the mind is connected to the spirit. 19. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be in. You know, people lose sensitivity. It doesn't happen right away. Initially, a person will feel guilt after their sin, but as they ignore the guilt and continue to sin, they lose all sense of right and wrong. When that happens, that person's in big trouble. When that happens, that person is on the fast track to hell because they're given over to their sin and it's their own fault. And they don't repent. And why don't they repent? Because they don't see their sin anymore. 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. In other words, no one learns to become desensitized to sin from Jesus. People do not learn to act unbiblical from God. You know, sometimes our hearts can tell us that something is right, but it is important to measure whatever we are thinking by God's Word. Because if what our heart tells us is right goes against Scripture, then it is either our sin nature or the devil trying to deceive us. 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. If someone has really heard from God and really learned the truth about Christ, then it's going to line up with verse 22. Look at 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Put off your old self. God says that we Christians need to make a clean break from our past life of sin. That's what it means, to put off the old self. Make a clean break from your past life of sin. Don't have anything to do with that old sinful life. Cut it off. And if certain things want to drag you into sin, then get rid of those certain things. Jesus saves no good sinners. However, He does not expect us to stay in the moral gutter after He saves us. He expects us to become more like Him. 22 again, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. God says that Christians need to make a clean break from their past life of sin. Man's sinful nature is spiritually corrupt. It feeds on moral waste. It loves moral rot. Man's sinful nature that we were all born with has wrong desires, and those desires are deceitful. They are deceitful desires because they promise satisfaction, but they produce slavery. And they promise happiness, but they deliver frustration. They promise satisfaction, but they deliver disease and sickness and death and despair. 22 and 23. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. God wants us to renew our minds. And to renew our mind means to put God's thoughts into our mind. You keep pushing God's thoughts into your mind, and the sinful thoughts will eventually be pushed out. You keep packing God's thoughts into your mind, and one day you will realize, I don't like that sinful trash anymore. A person's attitude changes when their mind is renewed, and their actions eventually get cleaned up right along with their attitude. Because as a man thinks in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Real Christianity is not a list of don'ts. It is a positive relationship with Christ, the Son of God. Do good out of appreciation for Christ, and the bad will go away eventually. Eventually, those bad things that used to be loved won't even be missed. 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Put off falsehood. In other words, don't lie to each other, says God. Lying destroys relationships. One lie, one deception can mess up a good relationship for a long time, maybe even forever. And it can be fearful to speak the truth sometimes, but it is better to endure the consequences of the truth than to prolong a lie. 26. In your anger, do not sin. Be angry, but not in a sinful way. Not all anger is sin. Actually, if nothing makes me angry, then I'm a pathetic Christian and a miserable excuse for a pastor and teacher. I better be angry at sin. I better be angry at false teaching. In fact, anything that angers God should anger us if we are Christians. After all, we're supposed to be like Christ, and He certainly got angry sometimes. And so it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In other words, don't let your good anger turn into sinful anger through bitterness. Take care of it. Deal with it somehow in a positive, biblical way. Deal with your anger in a biblical way, however it needs to be dealt with. Talk to the person who has made you angry. Pray for that person. Or pray that God will just take care of whatever it is you're angry about. Whatever. But never allow good anger to sour into sinful anger. 27. And do not give the devil a foothold, and that goes right along with verse 26. Because if anger is allowed to seethe inside of a Christian, it's not going to seethe for long. Not after Satan notices it. Because he'll spot that anger in a Christian, and he'll start to stir it up in a sinful way. Once he does that, that Christian is just a small step away from doing or saying something sinful. So anger that is not dealt with biblically becomes a playground for Satan and his demons. 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. In other words, we're to use our hands to do honest things like work instead of using them to do dishonest things. And it's not just our hands, of course. It is any part of us, any gift or talent or skill we might have. Don't use them to do bad things. Use them to do good things. God gives people strength and intelligence and skills. And what a sin it is to use those good gifts to do evil. That sort of thing should be in the past for a Christian. God's people are to do things that please God with the gifts that He has given them. 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, say things that will help others. Now, those things may not always make people happy. That's because sometimes it does mean giving encouragement, and that's fine, but sometimes it also means giving instruction. Sometimes saying helpful things means giving a rebuke, and that doesn't always feel good, but it's still helpful, and we should still say them. So God says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome or corrupt talk come out of your mouth. In other words, talk that isn't intended to make someone better or produce something right should be avoided. If our words are not going to be helpful, then we ought to be quiet until we can think of something that will be helpful. No Christian should abuse others with their words, or degrade others with their words, or say bad things about someone behind their back, because those are all forms of corrupting talk as well. 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It is a fact. The Holy Spirit literally lives inside of us Christians. And we can either make His stay a pleasant one or a miserable one, depending on how we act. And our sin offends our holy guest, and it makes him feel very unwanted. And so God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Good news. We Christians are sealed with God's brand of ownership once we become a Christian. Even better news, He does not remove His brand every time we sin. We may not always act like Christians. Other people may not always recognize that we are Christians, but God knows those who belong to Him. He recognizes His seal. 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, or wrath and anger. Those are two sides of the same coin, by the way. Wrath is a quick-hitting outburst that does a lot of damage real fast. Wrath is like a nuclear bomb. Kaboom! It's an outburst of anger. Regular anger is sort of like a ground war. It is slow but persistent. Anger is not as noticeable as wrath, but it's just as sinful, and it's just as damaging, only it's long-term. It is habitual, long-term bad that causes a lot of problems. 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and brawling. Brawling. Not necessarily... It's kind of close to wrath and anger. Making a big deal out of some violation of our perceived rights, that is brawling. When someone does not do what we expect, or we feel slighted, and we respond sinfully, that is brawling. No place for that in a Christian life. And then he says, give it a slander. Slander comes in a few flavors, by the way. There's a straightforward method. Jesus is of the devil. That's easy to recognize. But then there's the subtle. Somebody says, I don't want to say anything bad about so-and-so, but... And then they go on to say it, and they sound so sweet as they are slandering the person. The worst form of slander? The pious-sounding slander. Well, I think we ought to pray for so-and-so because I sense in my spirit that they are doing this or that, or struggling with this sin or that sin. Slander. I don't have any evidence. I just sense in my spirit. Let's pray for them. Well, that is just evil gossip wrapped in pious words. If you think that somebody is doing something, you go talk to them face to face in a humble way. 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave in God forgave you. Forgive as God forgives. That is the command that we have. That means do not make someone pay for forgiveness. That means do not make someone pay for forgiveness. That means do not delay forgiveness or bring up offenses that we say we have forgiven. God forgives and says, let's move forward, forgetting the past. And if He does that with us, it is unthinkable that we would not do that with others. Next time, chapter 5. Until then, so long, everyone.